A very good morning and welcome along to Clare FM's Farm Focus. It's James Mulhall with you here today. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the basic payment scheme with Teagasc, and we'll also hear from Clare's IFA chair about a climate change debate being held this coming Monday. First, though, we'll have our usual look at the weather for the days ahead. So today will be mild, breezy and mostly cloudy. There will be a fair amount of dry weather in the east. However, persistent rain is going to develop here in the west by noon and then spread right across the country to all areas in the afternoon and evening, and that will be heavy at times. It'll be mild and blustery with highest temperatures today of around 9 to 11 degrees and fresh southerly winds strong along the south and west coasts. Tonight that rain will clear to showers and winds will become more westerly with lowest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees. Sunday then will be cool and blustery with sunny spells and occasional showers, and we'll see highest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees with fresh gusty westerly winds, and that weather will continue unsettled early into next week. On Monday alone there will be a spell of wet and windy weather, and that trend is expected to continue into Tuesday and Wednesday as things stand. Now we'll get straight to it, and joining me on the line now is Conor O'Reilly from Teagasc. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Not too bad at all. So you're talking applying for the basic payment scheme for 2020.
Yeah, look, I suppose the basic payment scheme, or BPS for short, 2020 applications, they're out now and the online system is open. So it's open there now for the past, I suppose, fortnight or so. And you can submit your applications online. So again, this is one of the most important jobs that as a farmer will have to do for this year, and so to take time about thinking about your application and I suppose to contact your advisor or your planner for an early appointment and not to leave it for the last minute, you know.
Absolutely. So what kind of update can you give the listeners now about the BPS application for this year?
Yeah, look, I suppose all the packs have come out now, and in the pack then you have your maps and your application form. So again, all application forms, as I said already, are submitted online. So the paper application form is a thing of the past. Everything is online. The systems there are for people who have difficulty with submitting applications online. But the majority of the cases are submitted online and they work very well and there's no problems with them. Closing date, as always, is the 15th of May 2020. And applications received after this date are subject to various penalties up until and including the 12th of June. So look, the big thing I suppose there this year, there's no change for 2020 applications as the current scheme rolls over in the interim between the next round of CAP funding is agreed. So there's no major change in this year in compared to last year, 2019. Value of entitlements are set the same as 2020 as they were in 2019. So that's a big thing, that the value of entitlements are set as same as last year.
And what should farmers do with their application packs and maps?
Yeah, as I said, so everyone gets out the application map in the post, and maybe they should take time looking at that, open the pack. I suppose, yeah, open it is a good start, and to go in and to read the maps, the application form, and then the terms and conditions are there if you had any other queries to dig in a bit deeper as to see what's going on. We're all very familiar as to what is in the pack, so again, checking your map, is all your land included? And we know how maybe there if you wanted to compare it with last year, the year before that, just to see that maps are the same. You want to think about exclusions on your maps, and you'll notice that on your maps you'll have a lot of these exclusion red areas on maps, and again they're quite detailed, and maps are getting more detailed and more accurate year after year. So again, you will be able to see what type of exclusions are there. Are they scrub, roads, you know, farmyards, buildings, sites for houses, rivers, lakes, etc. So just to have a look and see that all these things, if they are excluded, that they're true and correct. And if you query them at the time of application, you can draw to your attention to your advisor who's doing your application. And if there's other things, there may be additional things to be taken out, like, as I said, scrub and roads and things like that, now is the time to make the adjustments. Also then additional land, if you are taking on additional land in terms of renting land for a year or 5 years, whatever the duration of your rent agreement, that you have access to that and the agreement is in place with you and the farmer who's leasing the farm. And then to add that in then and have it added in before the 15th of May. If you are taking out parcels of land that you no longer are farming, it's very important that those parcels of land come out, because the last thing that you want to create is a dual claim where you and another farmer may have the same piece of land declared for the same year, and then that can run into problems as to who has the right to farm a given piece of ground. So be very careful with that in terms of dual claims. And then I suppose in relation to the exclusions, it's the overclaims that you want to watch out for there. Herd numbers, again, and partnerships and things like that, have them set up in good time if you are applying from the new as a sole trader, or if you're applying as a partnership or a joint herd number set up. So again, in those scenarios, make sure that you have the herd number approved from the department. If there's no herd number, there is a facility there for the online where a client maybe have applied for a herd number to the local DVO office, but they haven't got confirmation back that they have been approved for the herd number, but it hasn't been rejected. At that stage, then you would be able to apply online with a facility there where the advisor can use where a client has not got a herd number. And this creates a special reference number, which then allows for the application to be submitted, whether it's BPS, ANC, Young Farmer, whatever scheme you're applying for. And then after the 15th of May, when you get approved for your herd number, there's a facility there where you join up the two numbers, the new herd number and the reference number together, so that payment then wouldn't be held up in the autumn time. So that's something just to discuss with your advisor at the time of application. Forestry then, I suppose, it's just forestry planted and maps need to be adjusted. That needs to be done. The greening payment then, as I said, is the same and set for 2020 as it was for last year. Entitlements, an issue, I suppose, with entitlements there. One entitlement per one eligible hectare. So check there that when you look at your application, that the amount of entitlements you have, it equals the amount of land that you have, and maybe you'd always like to have a little bit extra, extra land there with entitlements, because year after year you might find yourself that some of that areas are reducing, and then you'll find yourself that you haven't got the whole lot of area that's required to declare 100% of the value of your entitlement. So you just have to watch that there in terms of having it right there. Transfer of entitlements then, again, with that, again, the 15th of May is the close of that, midnight the 15th of May. And that's all online again. And then advisors will do that for you. Or there's also a way you can authorise an online entitlement facilitator, somebody like maybe Claire Marks or maybe some of the auctioneers, just are set up like that, where you would, as an advisor, authorise them to transfer the entitlements for your client if they want to sell or lease or whatever they want to do with those entitlements, if there are entitlements to be leased or rented or sold. Again, in relation to that, I suppose the tax issues that might be an issue there. Inheritance of entitlements, and again, most likely, straightforward enough situation where the inheritance of entitlements, but if it's a relatively new situation in a family, maybe the best advice would be, obviously, number one, get legal advice. And obviously, and the second thing would be, maybe if it's getting, if it's a recent enough thing that it's been left in the deceased person's name until their affairs are settled and straightened out, you know.
And are there any changes to Area of Natural Constraints scheme this year?
So again, the Area of Natural Constraints unchanged for 2020, but you tick the box on your application form, which your advisor does when we're doing your application. If you're doing the application on your own online system, make sure you tick that box. If you are going to declare the Area of Natural Constraints ANC payment for 2020, so you must maintain a minimum stocking density of 0.15 livestock units per eligible hectare for a minimum of 7 consecutive months, and then to maintain an annual stocking density of 0.15 for the calendar year. So just bear that in mind. And a lot of people are well aware of that because they're claiming for this payment for a number of years, so you're well aware of it. So cattle, sheep, horses, donkeys, goats, deer are all eligible. So I suppose the cattle numbers are on the department system, so they're well aware of the bovine numbers, the sheep and goats. I suppose the census will determine the number there. Horses and donkeys and Connemara ponies, the passports for those animals will be the way to qualify you. And if there are deer farmers in the country, I suppose it's down to a department inspection that will determine your eligibility for the ANC payment there. There's three categories. Before, it was mountain category one, which is now category one, and that's paying the higher rate. And the payment rates are broken down as to one is 12 hectares, 148 euros per hectare. And then the next 13 to 34 hectares, max payment of 112 euros per hectare. Category two then is more severely disadvantaged. And again, from 1 to 10 hectares, you're paid 112 euros per hectare. and the next 11 to 30, which is the max in that category, is up to 111. And the less severely disadvantaged, which is category 3, is 1 to 8 hectares at €93 per hectare, and then 9 to 30 hectares max in that payment of €88.25. So again, the payments in that ANC program have increased in the last year or two. So again, they're broken into different categories, category 1, 2 and 3, and you'd know how you'd fall into that on your farm.
So what about the Young Farmer Scheme and National Reserve application for 2020?
So Young Farmer Scheme, again, is open again this year for new and existing farmers. So if you are existing and it's a five-year scheme, you make sure you tick the box there. If it's a new application for eligible trained farmers, which is level 6, again, either a sole trader or joint herd number or partnership, again, you would apply, and your advisor planner will help you to get that in online. Everything is online again. Closing date the 15th of May. Be aware of the age limits in this one. With the Young Farmer scheme, sole trader is fairly straightforward enough. And when you're in a partnership or joint herd number situation, there has to be a number of documents that you have to sign and scan up with your application: effective control, joint bank accounts, declaration forms, which need to be signed by a solicitor, and there's various other documents then that need to be submitted. Again, this is paid as a top up on existing entitlement value up to a maximum of 50 hectares, and roughly around €68 per qualifying hectare at the moment. Again, the closing date for that is the 15th of May. The National Reserve is open again this year. So again, that is there for farmers who have got no entitlements on, we'll call naked land, where land has got no entitlements. So that's there for young farmers and new entrants to farming and that.
And then just on a final brief note, Conor, what other schemes are farmers applying for when they submit the BPS application?
Yeah. So the BPS application, it covers a lot of different other schemes that farmers are in, and it's very important that this application is not just submitted for what I've already spoken about, because there are a number of schemes that farmers are in. Your Class 1, your Class 2 and your Class 3, your BDGP scheme 1 and 2, the Sheep Welfare Scheme, you see the Burn Life Programme, organic farming if you are in that situation. So again, it's very important that you would sit down, and more importantly with the GLAS scheme, that maps aren't changing, because there are area-based payments in GLAS there, and it's very important that they match up, okay?
That's perfect, Conor. Thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Lovely. So thanks, James. Good man.
Conor O'Reilly there from Teagasc. We'll take a quick break now, but a climate discussion is coming up next. Welcome back to Farm Focus on Clare FM. It's James Mulhall with you here this morning. Now, climate change is very much continuing to be a topical issue across the board, and often we hear about the conflict between the farming sector and environmentalists. But it is important, of course, to note that this isn't always the case. So the issue is very much being felt on the ground by many people, and those living in Springfield Clonara will know this pain more than some, because the flooding they have faced in recent weeks that is said to be partly to blame on climate change. So with this in mind, the Clare branch of the IFA is hosting a debate on this very topic on Monday coming, and joining me to discuss that now is the Clare IFA County Chair, Tom Lane from Partine. Tom, why hold this first of all?
Well, I suppose the buzzword at the moment is climate change. We'd just like to get farmers totally informed, have factual information in front of them, and just know where we're going.
And what kind of format will this debate take then? Is there a few different speakers who will kind of take each other on, or how will it work?
We have three different speakers. Number one will be Professor John Sweeney, who will go through climate change, weather predictions, and maybe give his interpretation of how we go forward from where we are now. The next speaker we'll have will be Trevor Donlan from Teagasc, and he will give an explanation into the margin of the cost curve and how that will work and how farmers are dealing with climate change and operating under different circumstances.
So it's kind of, I suppose you're coming at it from a few different angles as well, which is important.
It is. I mean, we need more information ourselves to take on the argument. We need the information to enhance how we farm. Farmers are very open to progression, especially when it does come to climate change and comes to other environmental features.
And I suppose climate change has very much been spoken about now in regards to the flooding that we've seen in the county. I know you were on with Gavin on Morning Focus talking about this as well. That has a huge impact on a farmer, on their business, on their livelihood. And I suppose climate change plays its part in that. So this is a kind of a very topical issue at the moment.
It is topical at the moment, especially with the amount of flooding down in the Tanlara and the Clare area. Again, we have to learn how to operate, and we need to set ourselves up with a plan of action on how we will farm and continue to farm, as food production is an essential form of business, of life going forward.
And I know the Clare IFA as well, you're calling on the authorities for urgent action and to identify a coordinated plan that avoids the disruption that farmers and landowners have had to endure. And that'll very much, I imagine, you know, kind of drive the meeting. That's what the call you'd like to see coming out of it will be.
That's one of the causes. We would like to see some plans put into action in relation to the flooding. We would like to see the water levels under a single authority to be completely controlled, with forward planning that will deal with this issue of a build-up of water up above that loan.
And I suppose you have to look at it from a couple of ways as well. We have to look at the immediacy of needing to get that water off of this land as soon as possible, so that farmers are going to have a sustainable livelihood for the year, but very much future planning as well to make sure this doesn't happen again.
It is definitely, I mean, this is supposed to be a 200-year cycle. It's happening every 3 to 4 years at the moment. The damage that's left behind after the flooding has receded is ground has to be receded, land has to be cleaned up, the debris and the rubbish and everything else that is left there is a big burden on the farming community.
And obviously February has been a difficult month, one of the wettest on record, and felt like with a storm nearly every week. And I suppose even if you haven't been affected by flooding, your land to some extent will have felt the effects of that weather. But for anyone who has experienced flooding, you know, this is a very busy time for farmers as well. So it's not going to be an ideal situation.
It is a busy time, and a lot of farmers do want to start getting cattle out to grass as soon as possible. Normally, I'd say the middle of March is a good turnout for a lot of beef type farmers, and we find a lot of dairy farmers plan on getting cows onto grass from late February onwards. So this is a problem, but at the moment everybody seems to be managing it well.
And in terms of this debate then, you mentioned some of the speakers. Will this be a kind of a two-way conversation then as well, with farmers and members of the Clare branch of the IFA being able to kind of contribute to it as well?
Yeah, well, for everybody to get involved, ask questions, make themselves more knowledgeable on what's going on. We'll also have Paul O'Brien, the chairperson of the Environment Committee, with us. He will give us an overview of climate change, what's happening in Europe, and what we have planned ourselves as an organisation to move forward with climate change.
And very much, I imagine, you feel like you need a strong attendance at a meeting like this, given the severity of the issue. You'd like to see as many farmers and their families, of course, as well, to attend, because it affects everyone.
Yeah, we'd like to see a good turnout. We'd like to see a lot of non-farming community involved as well, because it is important that everybody is fully aware of the circumstances that we have to operate in under, how we need to change, and the changes we have made in the past.
I'll just get you to give us the details of those of that meeting, that debate, Tom, before you go as well. It's taking place this Monday coming.
It's taking place on Monday. It will commence at 8:30. It's in the West County Hotel. And it hopefully will last about 2 hours of that.
And is it a case that all is welcome, or do you need to register your interest in advance?
No, you don't need to register your interest in advance. We'd just like to see a good turnout. We'd like to see a very good farmer turnout. And that's the important thing there at the moment.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for your time this morning. And just to flag before wrapping up the programme, there's actually another climate meeting being held on Monday evening as well, and that's just before the IFA one. Transition Clare is hosting a talk at 7 o'clock in the Old Ground Hotel in Ennis to discuss the challenges that climate change poses and the solutions that agriculture can offer. Both of those events are free of charge, so if you're available, do pop along. That's our lot now for this week. If you want to listen back, the podcast will be online from this afternoon. Stick with us here on Clare FM, though. We've got Country Corner up next.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.